From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 103, Rob Parker.
Welcome into the Inside the Parker podcast. We have a great show for you, including Blue Jay starter Edwin Jackson on the cusp of making Major League Baseball history with his 14th team. Also, Spectrum Sportsnet LA announcer Cole Wright. He'll join us and tell us about the Dodgers. That and much more. Rob Parker here, you there. Welcome into the show. Let's go.
Batter up.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball.
Number one.
His name is George Springer with the Houston Astros. My goodness, who knew that he had another level? But he has another level. People remember him 2 years ago winning the World Series MVP when he had five home runs and helped the Astros beat the Dodgers. This year, he's in fuego, on fire as of Tuesday, batting .323, .400 on-base percentage, .652 slugging, leading the AL with 15 home runs in just 42 games. Are you ready? Last year, he only had 22 home runs in 140 games. So, without question, Springer has to be the early front runner for American League MVP. He's hitting the ball harder. And the other thing is, Springer has a .804 slugging percentage on breaking balls. And, you know, that's the highest of 188 batters with at least 30 such at-bats this season. So he has definitely taken his game up a notch. It came at the right time for the Astros, who are white hot, and George Springer is the reason why.
Number two.
Good news for Angels fans. Shohei Ohtani still has that raw power. He connected on his first blast of the season Monday night to help actually the Angels win a game over the Twins. But after having that Tommy John surgery and the Angels deciding that he was not going to pitch and only hit, people were wondering, would he be able to relive the home run power that he had a year ago when he had 22 home runs? But he is going to be must-see TV, even though it won't be on the mound at all. It will just be at the plate. So the Angels are very fortunate to get another big home run bat. And Ohtani will be definitely that guy the Angels needed and fans want to see.
Number three.
I know it's early and don't think I'm crazy, but last night, Clayton Kershaw faced off against Chris Paddock. And you know what? Down the road, these two could match up again and maybe even decide the division. That's what this is. This is like a classic matchup of the guy who's owned the NL West, Clayton Kershaw, all this time, and the new kid on the block, Chris Paddock, who won three of his first four starts for the Padres and had a stingy 1.55 ERA heading into Tuesday night's game. Chris Paddock talks a lot of trash, has a hot fastball, and is willing to strike out guys. So this is going to be interesting as we go down in the season. We'll see these two guys face off. This was definitely one of those matchups that you wanted to see and looked forward to seeing as we play the baseball season out.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
Let's welcome in Toronto Blue Jays right-hander Edwin Jackson to the podcast. What's happening, Edwin? How you doing?
What's going on, Rob? How you doing, man? I can't complain. Life on the go is normal.
As usual, I know. And on Wednesday, you're going to set a record for pitching for 14 different major league teams when the Blue Jays take on the Giants in San Francisco. Can you believe this? 14 teams?
Man, who knew it would be 14 different teams? It's especially coming into the offseason. I know a lot of people asked if I was going to sign with someone different just to break the record, and that wasn't the case. But inevitably, I guess it was meant to be. You know, the longer I played, the better chance I had of playing with a 14th team, and here it is.
It's unbelievable when you think about it, because you're not that old. You're just 35 years old. This will be the 17th big league season you appear in. And you started in, what, 2003 with the Dodgers. I mean,
correct,
you still got years to go.
Man, a cat with nine lives. I mean, like you say, relatively in life, I'm young. But in the baseball world, I'm on an older scale. But I don't feel like that. You know, I still feel like I have a little bit to bring to the table. As I like to tell them, not too bad for an old man, you know.
I was going to say, do the younger players, do they get around with you because you've been around so long?
They do. And then you have some that can't really, they don't know I'm 35. They thought I was a little younger. So it's mixed here and there. And then when I tell people I'm 35, they're like, what? You 35? But I like to kid around with them, you know. Like my wife, she told me, she looked at the roster. She's like, oh, by the way, you're the oldest person on the roster.
Oh, man.
Like, oh, appreciate it.
Thank you very much for that.
Appreciate
right.
Appreciate that info, babe.
That fastball still working. What you got?
Oh, man, I still can break it up there a little bit, but I just added a little bit more to the repertoire, you know, throwing a cutter, curve, change up, throwing the kitchen sink pretty much, man, whatever I can do to get out. But I still got some life left in the arm for my age.
Let's go over all the teams. So you debut with the Dodgers 2003. You also pitched for Tampa Bay, Detroit, Chicago White Sox, Arizona, St. Louis, Washington, the Chicago Cubs, Atlanta, San Diego, Miami, Baltimore, and Oakland. And that was last season, and you were 6-3 with a 3.33 ERA and 17 starts for them. And now the Toronto Blue Jays. Give me your best stop and give me your least favorite stop. What's your best stop?
Man. I would say my best stop, that's a good question, because I don't get it twisted by all the – I feel like all the teams, I've been blessed to play in some fun teams.
Right.
I would say my best stop was probably St. Louis winning the World Series. My most fun stop was probably Tampa Bay, just because it was like a young college team. And the least favorite, I don't have a least favorite. That's why I say all my teams have been fun from last year until when I first started, man. Every team I've been on, it's been a lot of fun on those teams, honestly.
Let's talk about the creme de la creme, the no-hitter you had with the Arizona Diamondbacks. 149 pitches, you get a no-hitter, you beat your old team, the Rays. 1-0, you had 8 walks, 6 strikeouts. How'd you pull that off?
It was meant to be. I mean, you walk 8 people. You walk 8 people. You walk bases loaded first inning and get out of it, and you have, you know, 5 more scattered walks throughout the game, and you still throw a no-hitter. It's just meant to be, and that's kind of the approach I took at the last inning. You know, I stepped off. I was like, hey, if it's meant to be, it's going to happen. And step back on the mound and, like, let's go. So it was no pressure. Obviously, it wouldn't have been as fun. You know, you throw all those pitches and then you give up one hit. Kind of feel like you threw all those pitches for nothing. But it was predestined, you know, for me to get out there and throw that many pitches and, you know, still be able to get the task done.
What about that was 2010. We're in 2019 now with all the analytics and what's happening after the second go round by the hitters and taking guys out. You might not have been able to complete that with the way that they manage now.
Man, even if they didn't have it, I had a couple managers that told me I wouldn't have completed that game, you know, with that many pitches, period. So that's what I said. It was all perfect timing, being under the right manager, the right situation, being able to have a little bit of say-so and go out and finish it and then actually get it done. I had a lot going on in my favor that day, even though I had 8 walks. So it seemed like I didn't have a lot going on in my favor. But at the end of the day, you know, I was standing tall on the mound with a no-hitter.
That's amazing. Is that your most cherished moment in baseball or is there something else? I don't know if it could be bigger than that.
That's one of my favorite, but I mean, the debut on a birthday with the family there, that probably still has to take the cake. And then also winning a World Series. So, I mean, that's definitely top three. Those are my top three right there.
How do you like baseball now? Just with the way, with all the shifts, mostly strikeouts and home runs, you know, with the new analytics, the way that they play the game, is it still cool or fun? Or, I think it helps the pitchers out.
I mean, for me, I can't worry about all that. I come from the old school, and I know the game has changed a lot. But my mindset, anyways, is go out, go hard as you can, as go along as you can, and help the team win. So I can't really get caught up into everything because, I mean, like you say, it's so many numbers going on. I'm still trying to figure them all out myself.
Right. I know.
I mean, I'm asking these younger dudes, like, what's this and what's that and what's this? And they're telling me breaks on balls and all that. So I go to the younger generation to get my information. And they pretty much putting me on game right now. So I'm still kind of learning everything. You know, as far as the analytics, you definitely have some stuff that's positive you can take from it. I feel like you just have to know what works for you and what doesn't. You know, for me to try to figure all of it out would be, you know, it'd be worse than me just trying to figure out what can help me and pick and choose my certain things that I can use for myself and use that.
Well, all I'm going to say is nothing but the best of luck in your debut for Toronto. And there it is, a record setter. Unbelievable. Edwin Jackson, thank you so much for joining the podcast.
No problem, Rob. You know it's always a pleasure to be on here, my man.
Thank you so much.
All right.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Central. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
FS1's Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What you got, Anthony?
All right, Rob, today let's talk about WAR. What is it good for? Well, a few things, actually. WAR is the new school's attempt to quantify everything a player does for a team, offense, defense, base running, etc., into one handy statistic. Is it perfect? No. But it can tell a story. WAR tries to answer the question, if we replaced a player with a minor league free agent or the last guy on the bench, how much value would the team lose? If Mike Trout gets hurt and you replace him with Peter Borges, a player who put up replacement-level numbers last season, WAR is there to try to tell you how big the drop-off would be. A guy with 1-2 WAR is a role player. 4-5 is an all-star. While anything more than 6 will likely be vying for an MVP that season. Last year, the Red Sox Mookie Betts compiled 10.4 wins above replacement on his way to the AL MVP, the highest mark of any player since Barry Bonds. Now, people scoff at WAR because it's not perfect, even when it's not trying to be. It's meant to pump up the players that contribute the most in all facets of the game. Two guys who hit 30 home runs with a 900 OPS may not be created equal if one is an elite defender and one is a DH. Even though the debate will rage on, WAR is trying to be a simple solution to a complex issue.
All right, Anthony, there you go. Maybe we'll look into that, maybe not. We appreciate you.
And what that ball is.
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up?
I don't believe it! My, oh my!
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, here's ShadowLeague.com MLB insider, J.R. Gamble.
Bryce Harper was the only position player for the Phillies without a hit on Monday. And he heard the boos. But he also had a potential game-saving play out in the field with the bases loaded. Is it foul or fair to excuse his plate appearances because he made a potential game-saving catch?
That's totally foul. You can't excuse that. Luckily, Philly has a good team, and he has time to turn around the season. But Harper doesn't get paid the big money to flash his defensive genius. Yes, great defensive plays show that he's an all-around player, but he was born in here to mash. And at the prime age of 26, with 7 MLB seasons under his belt, this was supposed to be the career year. Philly made moves this offseason. They landed him. They're at the top of the NL East so far, 3.5 games up on last year's division champs. So adding Harper hasn't hurt them, but Rob, I'm going to need a lot more than 222 with 7 home runs and a league-high 51 Ks. When Philly signed him, they wanted Jeff Bagwell numbers so far. He's given them nothing but Otis Nixon's glove. His OPS is the second lowest he's been in his career. And so far, Harper's a bust. So the bag he got, being Ozzie Smith with the glove in the outfield, is just not going to cut it. Foul.
Fasten your seatbelt.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Here comes Parker's top three MLB teams this week. Number three.
Minnesota Twins, 25-15 as of Tuesday, and they're leading the AL Central. They have taken the American League by storm, and they're good. Second best record in the league, and Eddie Rosario tied second in the league in home runs with 13.
Number two.
The Houston Astros, they have the best record in the league, 27-15. George Springer is going crazy. He leads the league with home runs with 15 as of Tuesday. Astros just ran off a six-game win streak. They were 9-1 in their previous 10. They are scorching hot and, again, look like they're going to make the playoffs and make a run at a World Series.
Number one.
But still, I know people are saying you're only picking the New York freaking Yankees because you're from New York. No, I was born in Jamaica, Queens. I'm not a Yankees fan, but they keep winning. They were 7-3 in their previous 10. And you know what? They're about to, they won a big series in Tampa Bay, 2 out of 3. And they are close to taking over the AL East. The Yankees have more star players on their injured list than they have in their lineup. They are the best team in baseball. Listen to what I'm telling you. This week's winner is at the PSJ 1022, and he's tweeting in from Detroit. Forget the current record. The Detroit Tigers aren't fooling any of their diehard fans. A AAA club trying to charge major league prices. I'll stay home until 2021, at least. If you want a chance to win a new era snapback, send your trash to @RobParkerFS1 on Twitter.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto: if I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
We're joined now by my man Cole Wright from Spectrum Sportsnet LA. You are always in on the Dodgers, and that's what we're talking about. Please, Cole, tell me, Cody Bellinger is like crazy on fire, leading MLB in average runs on base, slugging, OPS, hits, third in home runs. What has happened here?
I mean, this guy's a one-man gang, Rob. I mean, we've seen it before. I mean, he was Rookie of the Year 2 years ago, and then last year, you know, we saw him, you know, sometimes hot, sometimes cold. And I think that that was, you know, a byproduct, you know, of the interchangeability of the Dodgers lineup a season ago. I mean, there were just so many different guys who could play in so many different positions. And Cody Bellinger, you know, he just fell victim to that. And I think this year, with him being an everyday player, we can really see how good this kid is, man. I mean, you know, what he did his rookie year was special. I think that this year he's poised for more of that. And if you can see him in the lineup every single day, I mean, he's even flirted with injury a little bit this season, which is definitely not what you want to see. But, I mean, this guy is the fastest cat on the squad. I mean, he never gets cheated on a swing, and he's just a special talent. And he's a good kid in the clubhouse, man, one of the nicest guys. I mean, he'll give you a soundbite whenever. I mean, always a pleasure to speak with, man. And, you know, Cody Bellinger's the class for all seasons.
Corey Seager was mired in a terrible slump, 6-48. Then he had the big granny. What about Corey? I know he's coming off a major injury. Is he going to be able to shake it out and be good again?
Yeah, I mean, he'll be fine, man. I mean, think about how much time he actually lost. I mean, that's the thing. Coming back and being able to just jump right back in. I mean, I think right about now is when we're going to start to see peak Corey Seager. I mean, it takes a little while to get going. I mean, think about it. Justin Turner didn't get going until 2 weeks ago. You know, and then now he has 6 home runs in the span of, I don't know, like, you know, 15 games or something like that. So, I mean, it's all about being able, you know, to crawl before they walk. And not to say that Corey Seager has to crawl before he walks, because, I mean, his resume, you know, speaks volumes. But the thing about it is, I think it's just being able to get back in there, find that groove, and then everything will fall into place. And I think he's right there. I think it's starting to warm up. We haven't had the best weather in L.A., Rob, as you know, at least by L.A. standards. So I think he just needs a little bit of that warm weather, you know, just to touch him a little bit.
How about in the bullpen? Kenley Jansen, you know, has gotten off to a rough start. There was even talk. They asked him if he would be cool if the Dodgers brought in Craig. They asked him if he would be cool with the Dodgers bringing in Craig Kimbrell, and he said, hey, yeah, bring him in, just not as the closer role. What did you make of that?
I mean, that's Kenley Jansen. That's his job, man. That's what he does. I mean, I'm sure he takes a lot of pride in that, and I know, you know, he's a stand-up guy, man, and if he says go ahead and bring him, he's all about the betterment of the team, so he's all about going out there and getting wins, and he clearly thinks that he's the guy for that job. And, I mean, when you look at Kenley's numbers, I mean, they stack up with all the best in the game, man. So I'm not really worried about anything that's going on with Kenley Jansen right now. I mean, did he give up that grand slam the other day? Absolutely. But look at how he got there. They nickeled and dimed him. They small balled him, which is fine because, you know, bunts are hits just as well as home runs. But it's a chain of events that happens. That's baseball.
Right.
I mean, Kenley Jansen, when he comes in, more times than not, the door is going to get closed. And I think that's what we'll see as the season progresses, and I don't think we'll see anything change from that. If they bring in Craig Kimbrell, maybe he'll be the setup man that they were looking for in Joe Kelly, because what we've seen from Joe Kelly hasn't been, you know, what the Dodgers had envisioned. And I think right as of right now, you know, they're just waiting for him to turn that corner. I think he will too. It's just, you know, change of scenery, getting used to the competition. You know, the NL West is a whole lot different than the AL East, so.
If you had a big game and you needed to start a guy, would it be Buehler or would it be Kershaw at this point?
That's tough, man. That is a tough call. I mean, I think it all just depends on where you're playing the game at, what the lineup is. I mean, you can't go wrong with either one of them.
But it says because at this point, Buehler has pitched that well that you would consider some other elements. No doubt about it.
Well, you know what? I've covered the Dodgers at the yard at Walker Buehler's last two starts, you know, last Monday and Saturday. So maybe I'm a little bit biased by that, but I mean, that guy goes out there, he blows doors from start to finish, man. I mean, when he's in the seventh inning, I mean, you already know it's coming 97, 98, 99, and you better get ready and keep your head on a swivel because that cat's going to bring it. He's going to throw strikes and he's going to compete every single time he's on that slab. So, That's the one thing. Not to say Clayton Kershaw is not going to do the exact same thing, but I just think right now, when it comes to stuff, Walker Buehler has that stuff, man.
His name is Cole Wright, and he's the fill-in host at Spectrum Sports LA, and my man knows baseball. Always a pleasure. Thanks, Cole.
Hey, thank you, Rob. Anytime, man.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA, and it isn't even close.
It's because of the wristbands, and I have a man who knows that. It's James Mims, and he's the one who created Mims Bands, that's with a Z, back in 1986. And tell everybody why baseball wristbands are better than the NBA's and better than football's.
Well, I can give you over 130, but I'll run down the list real quick. Dusty Baker, Eric Davis, Barry Bonds, Gary Sheffield, Ozzie Smith, Andre Dawson, Tim Raines, Barry Larkin, Josh Harrison, Scooter Jeanette, Billy Hamilton, Nolan Arenado, Trevor Story, Adam Jones, Brandon Crawford, Frank Thomas, Eddie Murray, the late Tony Gwynn, Harold Baines, Jeffrey Leonard, Reggie Jackson. All of those guys wore the best wristbands in all of professional sports because it displayed their likeness, autograph, and their private slogan. That's why they're the best.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.